In St. Paul's epistle, he tells us to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. This is good advice. It means that we have to be renewed in our thoughts and desires because we are constantly tending to become worldly and lukewarm and careless. And the worse we become, if we are not renewed as he tells us to be, we will eventually become discouraged in the spiritual life and even abandon our good resolutions. Just like our clothes get dirty just by being worn, so that we have to wash them regularly in the same way. Just being in the world and going about our daily life and our duties makes us spiritually dirty, and we have to be constantly renewed. Sometimes in our spiritual lives, we have strong fervor and generosity with God, and we think that we could suffer even the greatest sacrifices in order to please Him. And then, in just a few weeks, or even a few days maybe, we change completely, even though we are not conscious of any mortal sin or any really bad venial sins. But our mood changes and we become more interested in worldly things again, and we become lukewarm again, and our prayers become difficult too. That is how changeable we are. And if we are good Catholics, all of this will be a concern to us, and we will try to figure out what is wrong with us. But St. Paul gives us a solution in his epistle. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. That is what we have to do when we slack off in the service of God. But what does this mean in practice? How do we do this? Well, he says we have to renew our minds. That means that we have to renew not just our outward conduct in various ways, but we have to renew our outlook and our point of view towards the world and also towards God. It's not enough to just make a few resolutions to change one or two details of our lives or just avoid one fault that we are committing. No, our minds have to be renewed, like being rebooted like a computer, so that we give ourselves a correct attitude towards God. So what is the correct attitude towards God then? What is the right attitude we need to have in the spiritual life? Well, the correct attitude that we need has to be to recognize and acknowledge our true position towards God, that God is the creator of all things, who possesses all things, including us. We have to serve God with every fiber of our being. And we have to acknowledge that God is infinitely wise and good in the way that He deals with us, and also that He has a supreme right to our submission and our obedience in all things. We have to make our whole will to have a perfect agreement with His will. This is putting our situation here in simple terms, and it's certainly an idea that we are familiar with as Catholics. And we see this frequently also in the lives of the saints. If you read the prayers of the saints, you see that they are constantly asking God to transform their will and their whole being into Himself, so that they serve Him with perfect docility to His will. And even someone who is not a great saint, even a sinner really, can see logically that this is the true nature of holiness, and that this is the simple duty of every single human being on this earth. Anyone can see that God is infinitely wise and that the way He deals with us is infinitely perfect. So we can never think that He does not want only what is good for us. We can also see that anytime we refuse to obey God, we are offending Him and going against not only His right to our obedience, but offending his infinite wisdom too, because God only ever commands us to do what is good. So this renewal of the spirit of our minds that St. Paul is talking about is exactly this: to take all of this to heart and order our spiritual lives and our lives in general according to these principles. To first remove all sin from our lives and do God's will as well as we can every day. The reason people become unhappy in the practice of the faith or become discouraged is always because they have departed from this path. Just one mortal sin, for example, creates a huge wall between us and God. And even a habit of venial sin that we don't want to get rid of is a conscious refusal to submit to God's will. And very often when the spiritual life becomes difficult for us, it's because we have some evil attachment. Or we have a lack of generosity towards God. So if we want to regain that interior peace and continue to advance in virtue, we have to reorder everything that is out of alignment. Sometimes this can be caused by some small fault, some overindulgence in food or drink. Sometimes it is because of a lack of proper behavior in our conversation, maybe telling jokes that aren't really edifying, in immodest dress, or being slow to push evil thoughts from our minds. Sometimes it's because we are harboring anger towards someone, or hatred, or lying habitually, or any other fault. If we engage in it habitually, it will weaken our spiritual life and make it difficult. So whatever we have in our souls like this, whatever sin we are attached to, we have to remove it as well as we can and be careful to avoid it in the future, to avoid going against God's will and offending Him. And only then can we truly say with sincerity, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If someone decides to do all of these things, though, the devil will probably tempt him and tell him this is too difficult. And the person might start to think, "Can't I at least have a little bit of control over my actions? Does God have to control every single thing that I do?" And the thought can be intimidating at first. And it seems at first like a terrible form of slavery, where we have to completely follow the will of someone else, even if that someone else is God. But this is completely false. Serving God and doing His will is not an oppressive slavery at all. In fact, it is the only true liberty to do the will of God, because it is only when we are doing God's will that we are guaranteed that our actions are good and holy. Being free to do what we want, if what we want to do is commit sin, is not freedom in any real sense of the term. Of course, that is the freedom that our modern world is so attached to and promotes with so much enthusiasm. But that is something very evil. But as God promised us, the freedom to serve Him is the only thing that will give us true joy. Although in order to achieve this happiness in God's service, we have to be, again, renewed in the spirit of our minds. We have to remove our attachments to sin that are getting in the way. Someone might think also, if I completely resign my will to God's will, what sort of life will I end up living? This sounds like an austere and impossible form of existence, where I am constantly going against all of my desires, and I will probably never be happy again. And this, of course, is also completely false. God knows our character and our disposition. He knows our talents, our circumstances, and our path in life. And he knows our strengths and our weaknesses. And obviously he is infinitely wise. So he will adapt the means to the end. The Holy Ghost leads with gentleness everyone that wishes to follow him. God will not lead us to do anything that is beyond our strength. And he only asks us that we do the duties of our state of life as well as we can for love of him, that we love him as much as we can, that we pray with devotion, and that we avoid sin. The Holy Ghost does not drive our souls with violence, but with gentleness. No one needs to fear to resign himself with complete confidence to God's wisdom. Nobody will be led astray or led in any way that is not suitable to his character and disposition. So let us ask God sincerely to renew our minds, to remove anything that is displeasing to him from our souls. Let us imitate our Lord in all things and be Christ-like. And show charity to others. These good resolutions are good to make, but let us be sure they're not just a passing thought, because the world is constantly distracting us and giving us more things to think about and worry about. And as I said, it is constantly encroaching on our spiritual life, especially if we are not careful to keep pushing it back. So let us constantly renew these good resolutions, this constant desire for perfection, for living up to what God wants us to be and asking for his grace to help us to do that. And eventually, the more we do this consciously every day, the more this thought will become habitual, until eventually we will be able to say with St. Paul, "I live, but not I any longer. It is Jesus Christ who liveth within me." And that is the ultimate goal for all of us too. And the closer we get to that goal, the greater the happiness we will have in the service of God, not only here in this life, but in heaven too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.